got to a place unexpected. Would you believe, after all you projected, a child in a manger? Holy and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl. Just a child, this is who we waited for.
Spending the month looking at the reality of what we call the Christmas story. And I have to be honest with you. As I've told you before, Christmas is my favorite holiday after my birthday. It is my favorite. Part of the innocence of Christmas has been renewed to me now that Naomi, my granddaughter, is 3. All right, and I'm talking to her, and she's talking to me about Santa, and we're talking about Christmas. And one of the cool things that Josh and Mo are doing this year is they have bought books that she gets to unwrap one book each night, and it's something about Christmas. And they're coming home for Christmas, and so for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, they asked if we would purchase books that Naomi could unwrap. One of them was a request. Let's see the first one up here. This was the request. They want Santa's birthday gift. All right. As you can see, it's Santa beside the baby Jesus. I don't know what the story's about, but it's going to be cool. I can't wait for her to unwrap that on Christmas Eve, and that will be her bedtime story. Now, knowing Naomi, I decided what the book was going to be for Christmas morning, and it's incredibly spiritual. That's right. Paw Patrol. Because any toddler knows Paw Patrol. And I am quickly learning every single word to the theme song, just like decades later I can quote every Barney song ever sung. Thanks, Josh. No wonder he grew up wanting to shoot people, right? He's a Marine. Now, I did not stop there because I grabbed another book that we're just going to kind of give to her, but the true meaning of Christmas does come out in this book, Toot, because that's spiritual, right? And that happens a lot in my house whenever my nephew is over, Ian. All of our furniture, when you come over, you're thinking, boy, that's a lot of cigarette burns in all the furniture. It's just Ian sitting wherever he can and tooting. But that's going to be a great book. Speaking of, you'll like this segue, the birth of Jesus is kind of smelly. I'm not talking about the manger scene kind of smelly, because we don't tend to think, we look at all those animals and we're like, oh, that's cute, stink. I'm talking about life taking left turns kind of smelly. Where you think you've got life figured out, you're enjoying life as it is, and then a buddy of mine and I stood in Big Lots yesterday and talked for 9 hours about how life has taken a left-hand turn. Because his boss walked into the door and said, we're cutting your pay in half. Ugh. And he says, I love what I'm doing, but this cannot support us. And we talked about what happens when life takes that smelly left-hand turn. Mary is our first glance of that reality at Christmas time. By the way, do you think this young girl was scared when the angel appeared and said, hey, good news, you're going to have a baby? Right? You're not even married yet. You haven't had sex yet, but you're going to have a baby. That's not scary at all. I think she was scared. What do we do when God says, hey, good news, all your hopes and dreams are crushed. Everything that you hoped out of life, you're gone. You got to follow me and what I want for your life. Good news? Where is God when things go wrong? And even better, is it his fault? Anybody that wants to leave now, sometimes it is. Open up your Bibles. Open up your Bibles to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1. That's toward the back part of your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Or just pop open that Bible app. That's what I use a lot anymore. And go right to Luke, Luke chapter 1. When life takes a left-hand turn, when we lose part of our salary, when we lose a relationship, when our health doesn't agree with us, when something just goes completely out of whack and everything changes. One of the things that we can rely on in that time is what Mary's about to be told is the presence of God. I decided to add that last part because presence sounds like Christmas presents, and I love Christmas presents. It is the presence of God. So let's read it. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 is where we're going to start. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin, that's a key word, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. We've seen the cartoons. A descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, hey, how's it going? Greetings, you who are highly favored! Exclamation point. The Lord is with you. I love how the angel appears and goes, hey girl, how's it going? Right? And we are constantly wishing God would speak to us, that we could hear him. God, why are you quiet? Speak to us. And here's Mary just going about her life. She's engaged. She's got her whole life mapped out. She's just simply breathing. She's right where she wants to be, right? For any Jewish girl back then, right where she wants to be. And God goes, uh-uh, right? And suddenly he comes and makes everything go lefty and turn. We wish that God would speak to us clearly. We would absolutely freak out if he did. But here's the thing about God speaking to us. It's not whether he's speaking to us. It's whether we're paying attention or not. As dumb as it sounds, I can hear God speak when I'm watching TV. I can hear God speak when I'm driving down the road. I can hear God speak. Now, it's not in the big booming voice shaking the earth kind of thing. But I can see something and go, oh, there's God in that. Or in a letter from a Nebraska principal. God is always speaking to us. The problem is sometimes we don't recognize his voice. So greetings, you who are highly favored. Do you know what that means, by the way? I had to look it up because I wanted to make sure. Highly favored literally means extra grace. She got extra grace. Sign me up. Sign me up. For some reason, God's given her extra grace. As believers, we know what grace is all about. That's God's presence. And he wants us to know. Look at the last part of the verse. Are you ready? He has not told her anything yet about what's to come. But he wants her to know, regardless about what he's about to say, the Lord is with you. He could have ended it right there. But he continues on throughout the chapter. We're not even going to get into the prophecy that he tells and all that other stuff, that she's going to have a baby. But he wants her to know, first and foremost, God's grace is on her, and God is with you. When life turns south, when life goes the way that you don't expect it to, when all your hopes and dreams are suddenly crushed by a phone call or a meeting, you know, whatever it might be, the Lord is with you. Do you feel his presence? Do you recognize his presence in the midst of the chaos? All right, look at verse 29. She legitimately was puzzled, right? She legitimately was puzzled. Look at her reaction. Mary was excited. Mary was greatly troubled at his words, you think, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Look at her reaction. Two things. She was greatly troubled, I bet. You think my buddy that I was talking to in Big Lots yesterday was greatly troubled when his boss said, hey, Merry Christmas, your salary's cut in half? Greatly troubled. When things go wrong, when life doesn't turn out the way we think. And she wondered what kind of greeting this good news. She wondered. It's kind of like you when you leave and you say, that sermon was unlike anything I've ever heard. It's two meanings there, right? Not good. Yeah. You ever feel like God is trying to tell you something and you're not really sure. Is this God talking to me? If this is God talking to me, this is kind of scary what he's telling me. She's greatly troubled. God is about to ruin her life. I know we look at the story and we go, oh, wow, she's highly favored and what a great girl and all this other stuff, and we miss the part where she's greatly trouble. And she wonders what kind of greeting this really is. God is about to ruin her life. All those hopes and dreams gone. But here's what we know about Mary from the rest of the story. Oh, what a life she's getting ready to have. She is going to play a part in God's grand design for grace to be introduced into the world. That's what he wants for us, to represent him in such a way that people know grace. But man, that's hard when life takes a left turn. So look at verse 30. Here's the one thing that I encouraged my buddy yesterday. I said, here's how you'll know. Here's how you'll know when you're going in the direction that God wants you to go. Whether you stay in this job, you find another one, whatever it may be, He will give you a sense of supernatural peace. Peace in the midst of the chaos. But the angel in verse 30 said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." That tells me that when she was greatly troubled, she was scared. She was afraid. We have been afraid when we're like, whoa, is this God telling me to do something? Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor. There's that word again. You have found favor with God. Maybe for you, His promises aren't enough. Maybe for you, all these prophecies aren't enough. Maybe for you, when you do hear Him clearly, you're afraid and you're concerned and you're puzzled about what God is telling you. But here's what you have to remember. He always provides what we need most in the moment. It's peace. When we are right where He needs us to be, peace. Do not be afraid. We have His presence with us. The Great Commission tells us that He'll be with us till the very end of the age. He provides what we need most in the moment. It's peace. How do we not be afraid when we realize that God is telling us, your life as you know it is over. I've got something bigger for you. What do we do with that? It's that word favor again. It's all about His grace. And when life takes a left turn, we tend to rely on our own power, our own strength, our own ideas, our own abilities. Does not lead to peace. It leads to anxiety and chaos and stress. But when we rely on His grace, knowing that we're imperfect, He is perfect. God, I need You to guide me. God, I need You to direct me. God, I don't understand what all You're telling me, but as Mary's about to say, okay. If that's what He wants, okay. He'll provide that peace through His grace. All right, let's stand for our closing song this morning. And wherever your heart is, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to just mess you up, to make you go through a left-hand turn that's going to cause you to rely on Him and not yourself. If you need that this morning, if you need to feel an overwhelming sense of His grace, come on up. Let those of us who have gone through the journey before pray for and with you in this time. Let's sing.
Far to a place unexpected. Would you believe, after all we projected, a child in a manger? Lowly and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in His mother's shawl. Just a child, is this who we waited for? That's are all that we have, whether costly or meek, because we believe. Oh, for his honor and frankincense, for his pleasure and myrrh, for the cross he'll suffer, do you believe? Is this who we waited for?
God, we cannot thank you enough that from the beginning of time, you planned out everything in the Old Testament just so your son would be born. Just so we can look at that birth and be amazed that our God came down to be one of us. God, I pray this morning for anyone that needs to hear you clearly. You are constantly talking to us, sending us messages and messengers. We just don't always think of it. For those who are seeking and just can't seem to find you, may they stop and just listen in our hearts and our thoughts and what we see and what we hear. It's a scary time, God, when we can't hear you, when life seems to just go wrong. Help us to be like Mary. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pray.